Welcome to the Global Research News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. We have another full week of live programs for you. Generally, we have two or three live and the rest archived. But there's a lot going on in the world, and we feel it's important to bring it to you. I don't have to tell you why you tune into a program like this. It's because you just can't find out what's going on by watching your TV screen, reading your morning paper. Maybe in a small town you can get some decent information. You certainly don't where I live, and you don't in the big cities around the country, unless you get off and away from the major publications and pick up some of the less well-known ones. But you'll only get the real McCoy on this program, real news and information. And I think my guest this today is Mickey Huff. I think he's heading, Gary, I think he's heading from the parking lot to his office. So if you haven't reached him yet, Mickey, I don't think you're on yet, are you? I think he was pulling into his parking lot. There was a lot of traffic, Gary. So he said he could be a few minutes late. There's no problem. We'll pick up with him when he gets situated in his office. But let me tell you about Mickey and what we'll talk about. And, of course, the program is brought to you by globalresearch.ca and my co-host and editor, Michelle Chosudovsky, who is attending conferences over in Asia. And on Thursday, he will host a live program. A live program from Asia. My goodness. I guess that's going to be about around midnight or maybe later. He's tougher than I am. But if it had to be done, well, I would do the same thing. This is a much better time for me. But it's important, again, to put out this information, and we will continue doing it. My guest is Mickey Huff, an old favorite of this program now. And Mickey is... Hang on one moment. I've got a busy screen in front of me, and I want to tell you about a couple of things, too, before Mickey jumps on. But Mickey is a California-based professor of history. He teaches at Diablo Valley College. He's a lecturer in sociology at Sonoma State University. He's an instructor of critical thinking and media studies at Berkeley City College. And he's also the associate director of Project Censored. Project Censored is a vital organization, and everybody's got to know about Project Censored. And we'll talk about some of the current things that they're doing when Mickey gets on, along with a lot more, as much as the hour allows. But Project Censored does some wonderful things. They pick the top 25 stories of the year that are censored in the major media, and they could pick the top 100 or 200. I don't know how they ever boil it down to 25, because there's so much good material out there that you never get reported in the dominant media. We'll talk about some of what the Project Censored is doing. And every year they publish their top 25 stories in a yearbook. And the current one is called Censored, Media Democracy in Action. It's Censored Media Democracy in Action. The latest one is Censored 2009, the top censored stories of 2007-2008. And anybody can buy it online. You can just go to projectcensored.org, but you can go directly to the spot where you can order it at projectcensored.org/store. I've got it. I've got a lot of others in past years, and I recommend you get it. It's a terrific book, and there's all kinds of great information in it. Let's take a break, and we'll come back, and Mickey should be in his office or close to it, and I'll tell you about one thing before Mickey jumps on. Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm Steve Lenman. Mickey, have we got you in your office as yet? Not yet. Well, let me mention one thing briefly. Mickey was tied up in traffic a bit. He's very close to getting on the line, so we'll pick up with him in just a moment. I get a lot of information sent to me, and it's very valuable to me because it gives me ideas on what to write about and what's important and so on. And I get emails from the Center for Economic and Policy Research. Oh, Mickey, hi. Welcome to the program.
Stephen, hello. My apologies for the...
Oh, well, you that bumper to bumper, it will slow you down a little bit.
Bay Area traffic will do that.
Oh, well, we get the same thing in Chicago.
Yes, of course.
let me mention one thing before we jump into conversation. There was a big deal. I don't think too many listeners know about this, and it's a big deal for me because I've written about the country before. The country is Bolivia, and they had a big vote yesterday. They voted on a new constitution. Now, just imagine a country wanting a new constitution, and they don't do it behind closed doors. They put it to a national referendum. That's what they did in Venezuela earlier. There'll be another referendum in mid-February in Venezuela. On a future program, we'll talk about that right after the vote takes place. But they voted on a new constitution yesterday, and they passed it nearly 60-40. Now, the question is, what credence will the Obama administration give this? I don't know all the details of it, but I know a couple of very important things. It's to give greater recognition to a primarily indigenous country, and President Evo Morales is one of the indigenous people. So it's giving greater credibility, greater importance, greater rights to the indigenous population, who in the past never had any rights whatsoever. And the second important feature that I know about is to use more of the nation's resources to benefit the people. And that's crucial. That's made all the difference in the world, Mickey, as you know, in Venezuela. And I can only hope that Morales is going to follow through, but it will not be an easy task for him, not at all.
No, not at all. And historically, I mean, what the Bolivians are doing is essentially decolonizing their culture, which goes all the way back to Spain and European imperialism. And in America, historically, as you well know, the United States has long tried to continue that European oppression of colonialism. And any time that indigenous peoples, particularly in Latin and South America, have tried to exercise their own autonomy, Washington is often seen red, so to speak. You know, and then they trot out the old demonizing terms like communism and these types of things to discredit people who actually just want to govern their own affairs and become an equal part of the global community.
And, of course, the same is true in so many places. And one note of caution on the email I got, Mickey, was that there are several provinces where the elitists pretty much run things. They have their own governor and so on. And the email I got said that the governors of several of these provinces said they will not accept the national vote as binding on their governments.
In other words, they will not accept the Democratic majority.
Exactly right. It's like the state of California or the state of Illinois saying, we will not respect the U.S. Constitution.
Or it's like the U.S. government entirely saying in 2000 and 2004 that we will not accept the will of the people and we'll seat someone as president anyway.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We go through a theatrical process, and we call it elections every 2 years, every 4 years. And where you are, Mickey, you have a guy who is he still muscle bound? I don't really know. but you have a former Mr. America or whatever is your governor, who uses notoriety and maybe a little vote manipulation to become governor. And in my state, we have a guy who, along with everything else making headlines, reportedly he has pretty good connections with the underworld. So these are the kind of people who lead us in this country.
Well, it is Chicago.
Indeed. The private fiefdom of the Daly family. Oh, there's so much to talk about, Mickey. Why don't we start off with Project Censored? I gave a little idea of what Project Censored is. introducing you before you jumped on, but you're really expanding into more activities that makes what you do all the more important. And I've got up on my screen your Media Freedom Foundation site.
Yes.
Oh, talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely. Media Freedom Foundation is actually the nonprofit parent organization of Project Censored. And what we've been doing over this past year is expanding what Project Censored is going to be doing, and we are now not just national, but we're going international in terms of an affiliate program. And on the Media Freedom Foundation page, which you can link to from the projectcensored.org page, if you go on PNN, Personal News Network, and you'll go into the Media Freedom Foundation's independent news sources and independent news analysis pages. And just really briefly, some background on this. Project Censored has been around for 32 years, and a question that routinely comes up when we're out speaking places, when the project comes up, is people say, well, where do you get information? Where can you go to get independent, trustworthy, verifiable, transparent information about what's going on in the world? And last year, after this conference we did in Santa Cruz called the Truth Emergency Conference, and the name describes the condition that we find ourselves in, a purportedly democratic society with a purportedly free press. And the Truth Emergency describes our situation in a nutshell. As Neil Postman said years ago, we're the least informed, most entertained society in the world. And the Truth Emergency explains how, even though we have all of this talk about the information highway and all of these types of catchphrases for how much information we have available, even though we are awash in a sea of information, there seems to be a paucity of understanding and connecting the dots among the general public. And much of this is due to the corporate media. And what the Media Freedom Foundation has been doing after this conference in Santa Cruz is we had over 300 scholars, activists, and media, alternative and independent media people come up with what they thought were the best sources of information, the most independent, the most transparent, the most trustworthy. Are they right all the time? No one's right all the time. But this is a one-stop shop, to coin other cultural phrases in our consumer paradise, so to speak. Where you can go and click on projectcensored.org, go to the PNN Media Freedom Foundation link, and you can get on the independent news sources. And you can see RSS daily feeds from Free Speech Radio News, the Christian Science Monitor, Consortium News, the independent investigative journalism site, the BBC, Alternet, Interpress Service, Democracy Now!, News Trust, Al Jazeera English, The Guardian UK, the North American Congress on Latin America, Electronic Intifada. I think what you're getting, you get the picture here is that we have, and this is actually interesting, the director of Project Censored and the head of the Media Freedom Foundation, Dr. Peter Phillips, we were talking over the weekend, and Peter actually printed out all the material here, and what you get every day is over 50 pages of news stories on the independent news sources site. So what we're talking about is making corporate media irrelevant. When you get up and you want to see what's going on in the world, you don't necessarily need to pick up the New York Times. You don't need to turn on your local news channel. You can go to the Media Freedom Foundation page, and you've got a whole newspaper every day, basically, right there, digitally, of information going on, and it's all independent. It's all non-corporate, and it's all talking about some of the most important things that are going on in our society and in the world. And you go into the analysis page, and you're going to get op-ed news. You're going to get global research, Daily Censored, our new blog. Project Censored has a new blog called The Daily Censored. It's at dailycensored.com. You're going to get a lot of views about the news that the corporate media ignores entirely. So that's one of the major projects that we've been dealing with this past year, and I'm really happy to say that we're up and running, and I invite all your listeners to check it out. And, of course, you can email us through the Project Censored website with more information. feedback. So we're really interested in hearing what people have to say. And again, we're really headstrong and we're moving forward. And we are, you know, again, really on a mission to make corporate media irrelevant.
Maybe I think we agree that the state of the media is problem one. And an uninformed society lets bad governments run the country, lets them literally get away with murder and looting the national treasury.
Well,
and,
you know, from Gaza to Oakland, California, there's just a colossal media failure about the humanitarian toll that's going on right now. I mean, and again, and it also includes Iraq. The corporate media in this country, this past election year or two, you know, the election years are a couple years long now, I guess, where people are already throwing their hat in the ring for the 2012 election.
They never run. The continuous election.
Yeah, it's a continuous saga for the media to do their horse race polls and their distractions and so forth. Where in Gaza, you've got over 1,000 dead, over 4,500 wounded. I mean, it was a humanitarian catastrophe before the vicious onslaught of the Israeli government. And, you know, over a third of the dead are children. You just don't hear this in the corporate media in the United States.
And
I'm hearing your music. So
oh, yeah, we got to take a break, Mickey. Let's do that. We'll come right back.
Sure thing.
This is Cascadia Public Radio.
Welcome back to the News Hour. I'm on with Mickey Huff. Mickey, it's amazing. I've written an awful lot about the Gaza war and the aftermath, and I have a new article on global research that went up yesterday afternoon, and still another one coming, just finding different themes to write about. But it's amazing in Israel. There's some pretty bad media over there, but there's one publication that's a combination of bad and good, and it's Haaretz. It's,
right.
It's a publication I go to all the time. And they published an article I don't think you'd ever see in the New York Times talking about how rabbis were promoting and providing material to instruct Israeli soldiers to be cruel and merciless to their enemies. Can I read one thing? Here's a rabbi, Rabbi Aviner, his last name, I guess, describing what he calls appropriate code of conduct in the field. Quote, when you show mercy to a cruel enemy, you are being cruel to pure and honest soldiers. This is terribly immoral. These are not games at the amusement park where sportsmanship teaches one to make concessions. This is a war on murderers. And he goes on. In other words, we're the good guys. They're the bad guys. We should show them no mercy. What kind of rabbis talk like this? What do they talk?
There's a significant degree of radicalization there that ironically fits the government's technical definition of terrorism. I mean, this is a person that's clearly calling to terrorize the civilian population in Palestine.
And using a rabbi
before the
to do
break,
it.
Before the break, what I was mentioning was that, you know, you just don't see any of this coverage. You don't see the human toll that these policies take and that this kind of callous talk really leads to. And in addition to what's going on in Gaza, and we're made to believe that this is some legitimate crackdown on some terrorist population. And if you really look, I mean, according to the rabbi here, I mean, to be Palestinian is to be a terrorist and to deserve to be murdered. This is so far beyond the spectrum of what should be considered legitimate discourse or conversation or any kind of tone or tenor, let alone for someone that's considered a leader in their community, you know, a religious leader, to speak in this way. It really shows how far afield we are from anything that's, you know, remotely humane and decent in the world. And it's not just in Gaza. And I know that you've got a couple of other people on this week focusing on what's going on there. And, I mean, again, we can't know enough of what's going on, because if you ask the average American what's afoot, I mean, they're clueless. This is just something that's not going on at all in the media, unless it's talking about Israel's right to protect and defend itself. How it's defending itself against 300-plus Palestinian children, that's a mystery. How children can be terrorists and these things. I mean, it's again, it's just a total breakdown.
Yeah, I've gone into great detail on this, and also the fact that Israeli policy, it's always been Israeli policy since their 1948 so-called War of Independence, but Israeli policy, official doctrine, official Israeli doctrine, and I've quoted verbatim how their leaders, their generals explain this. Their official doctrine is to attack the weakest parts of an enemy, in other words, civilians. To deliberately go after civilians, everybody is considered part of the military threat. Everybody has to be attacked. You need to terrorize them. You need to inflict mass destruction. And this goes on and on and on and on. And then some of them reflect back on the 2006 Lebanon War, and they say, we really fouled up. We didn't kill enough people. We didn't destroy enough. And there's no question that Israel either has plans already made, or they're making them now for the next Lebanon War, which would be the third one. Now, there's no way they could unleash it now after the hullabaloo, after the world uproar over what they did in Gaza. But there's no question at some future time this is what they want to do, not just to go after Hezbollah, which is the legitimate part of the Lebanese government, democratically elected. They literally want to level the entire country. And the sad thing is that they couldn't get away with it unless the U.S. allowed it and armed them and sent them billions of dollars every year. And these are our tax dollars.
Yeah, to simply mention all of the things that you're mentioning, all of the facts that you're bringing to light here, to simply mention them in America, you get branded as anti-Semitic.
Oh, that's right.
And then they trot out these ad hominems and red herring attacks on people that are simply paying attention. Whether it's the large weapon shipment that's gone there, whether it's the plans to attack Lebanon again, people say, well, Israel has the right to defend itself. Well, nobody ever talks about the right of Palestinians to simply exist. And, you know, what about the right of the Palestinians to have their own state? Again, in America, this seems to fall on deaf ears, or if it's mentioned at all. But this is a consistent theme, and this is why I mentioned from Gaza to Oakland and through the Iraq War or in Afghanistan. The average American, as you know, the number one story in Project Censored this last year was over 1 million dead Iraqis caused by U.S. occupation. The average American, when polled this past year, believes there to be fewer than 10,000 deaths as a result of the U.S. invasion. Fewer than 10,000.
Shocking.
The Pentagon admits to well over 100,000. So, I mean, these are remarkable figures that the corporate media just does not inform the public about, and it directly correlates then to how these policies can continue.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
It really is astonishing how little the public knows about the most important things. As we broke away to commercial, I was about to say that I'm sure most people can recite all the weekend's ball scores or whatever, and yet probably a good number don't even realize there's still a war going on in Iraq and Afghanistan, and people are still celebrating the Obama victory, the Obama election, without having any idea in the world what's going on or the kind of people he's surrounding himself with and the policies that absolutely are going to come out of people like his key people, his key cabinet people.
Well, like Rahm Emanuel, for example, or Robert Gates. I mean, what kind of change were people hoping for here?
Well, it's the same recycled crew that got us into the mess we're in now, whether we're talking politically, economically, and it sure is not change to believe in. Same old is the way to describe it.
And if you mention that to, you know, any of the delirious Obamaniacs, you know, you usually get a pretty heavy dose of vitriolic commentary. I mean, granted, you know, I was one of the folks celebrating some of the best tax money spent in a while, and that was that helicopter ride that took Bush away. You know, but again, you know, celebrating the end of that era is not exactly the same as celebrating what's going on and what's coming in. I mean, granted, there are certainly things that we should address and say, well, good, these are steps in a humane direction. These are steps to try to restore some legitimacy to, you know, any kind of civil society. But on the other hand, we need to really pay close attention to a lot of the policies and the things that are going on with Obama, because they're going to continue the wars. They're continuing what's going on. Before the break, I'd mentioned, you know, the death toll in Iraq. And, you know, if Americans can't get themselves interested in caring about the Iraqi dead, over a million Iraqis, they should get interested in the 1.8 million American veterans, almost 400,000 of which have filed disability claims through the VA. I mean, again, when we say humanitarian crisis, it's not just in the theater of war where it's obviously the worst exponentially, but it also has all this other feedback. It also has all of this other, these other ramifications in our population, in our society, and the lack of coverage in media that sort of globalizes our humanity rather than our resources. It's criminal. And, you know, again, that's why at Project Censored, we're doing the things we're doing to try to shine light in these dark places, because these are things that really ought to be talked about. These are things that should be leading, you know, on the nightly news. Not what's happening with the Screen Actors Guild Awards, you know, who's adopting some baby here or there, some celebrity. You know, again, you know, we have all of this, these media and this means by which to inform ourselves and to create a better society, and we often spend it in really tawdry ways. And what I mentioned again, from Gaza to Iraq to Oakland, the last of those, and I'm not sure how much you've heard of this in the national press, but not long ago, this past month on New Year's, there was a brutal shooting in Oakland of an unarmed African-American man named Oscar Grant by the Bay Area Rapid Transit Police. Where he was caught, the police were caught on video not only brutalizing these people, but cuffing them while the man was pleading for his life not to shoot him, not to tase him. He had a 4-year-old daughter, and this cop shoots him in the back in cold blood. I mean, so it's an ongoing epidemic of violence, whether it's in Gaza, U.S.-supported violence in Gaza, whether it's U.S. violence in Iraq and Afghanistan, or whether it's right here on our own streets.
Vicki, the same thing happens in Chicago, and I know somebody personally, a black man who works in my building, who went through police brutality some years ago in Chicago. They picked him up on some phony piece of business. He didn't commit any crime. He did absolutely nothing. But, you know, you're guilty of being black and maybe in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you run into some nasty cops, and they pull you in for whatever reason, and they beat the living tar out of him inside a police station. So, I mean, this was torture. I mean, the guy was tortured. And, again, even if he was guilty, you don't do this to anybody. But Chicago is a very violent city, too.
So it's a continuation of people not living up to the rule of law. It's a breakdown of civil society. When violence can be used seen as any way a legitimate means of quelling whatever the state claims is going on, which we should always be dubious about. We should not be taking wholesale state authority, whether it's on what's going on in Iraq, Gaza, or in Oakland or Chicago. It's not a legitimate authority, and the state is not a legitimate explanation. It does not give legitimate explanations, because biased establishment style explanations for what's happening. And well, for what happened in Oakland, you know, the BART official, Jim Allison, they were like, well, we don't have any videos. We're not sure what happened. The police officer from the BART authority resigned, so we can't investigate him and we can't do anything and we don't have any jurisdiction. I mean, it was just astounding. Yet on YouTube, you have all these videos of people that were bystanders on their cell phones taking care. You can see the man shoot Oscar Grant in the back in cold blood. And then the guy disappears, and it takes the communities in Oakland and surrounding areas to pour into the streets and begin to vandalize private property and state property until the message is a bit clearer that we're not going to tolerate this anymore. And, you know, I mean, just well, another study just came out, another report just came out showing that J. Edgar Hoover was authorizing COINTELPRO and police violence against the Black Panthers in Oakland. I mean, not that we didn't know this, but here's another example of top state top-down authority declaring war on a country's own citizens, where it's illegal to be a color or a race, a certain ethnicity. And while people are certainly celebrating the election of the first African-American President Obama, did that help Oscar Grant? Has that changed our over 2 million prison population, the vast majority of which are people of color? I mean, that hasn't changed any of this.
Changed absolutely nothing, McKean. Of course, Obama, I think Obama was a very clever choice at a time of really, really serious trouble here in this country. It seemed like a stroke of genius to put a black face in charge, sitting in that Oval Office, at least nominally in charge of running the country, to divert attention away from the serious problems where people are losing their jobs by the thousands every single week.
None of this is happening. It's, you know, the patient is on the table, hemorrhaging. You know, and people are all kind of sitting around talking about how they're going to be really tough on the next pathogen or something. And Obama's speech was similar. You know, how we will defeat you. You know, haven't we had enough of that kind of schoolyard bully rhetoric?
Oh,
I mean, I thought this was supposed to be a sober, liberal intellectual. And yet even in Obama, you have to hear this, I'll be tougher than you. I'll be tougher than the other guy. Again, it's just yet another example of just civil decay.
Historically, you know
these things. You go back and you look at Rome. You know, you go back and look at Greece. Go back and look at these major civilizations, these empires, what happens to them. And always, the component that brings all of these societies down is connected to its fiscal decay and its external imperialism. And, you know, we're just running right along in the same mold as all of these other completely failed societies. And again, it's, you know, as long as people have American Idol and Pepsi and Brand Obama, they're everything's fine. Hope and change is here. And again, what I keep bringing up with Project Censored is really, you know, a lot of people are saying, like, well, what's Project Censored going to do now that Obama's in office? Well, we're already gathering over 100 stories for next year's book. And, you know, while a lot of people, you know, label Project Censored as a liberal organization, we're nonprofit, we're nonpartisan. And sad to say that we already have a lot of stories going on about Obama that you're not seeing in the corporate media that people should know about.
Without question. Absolutely without question. And even some of the good things, or at least nominally good things, that he did right out of the chute, Mickey, it apparently was something I'll give him credit for. I hope I'll give him credit for. It depends on what follow-through there is. But reversing the Bush presidential secrecy years with an executive order. At the same time, he signed another executive order, I guess allowing stem cell research as well.
Right.
If there's good follow-through on these, then those are good things. But he signed another executive order banning torture. David Swanson from the website afterdowningstreet.org
has
a very good article on global research called Dangerous Executive Orders. That was up on Sunday, yesterday. And he talks about how do you reverse what should never be reversed because it's illegal. Torture is illegal. How do you reverse something that's illegal If you want to have an executive order, then you have an executive order saying torture is illegal, this country won't tolerate it, and every place where this goes on, we will shut it down, we will prosecute the people that we find doing it. Obama supposedly will close Guantanamo in a year, Mickey.
What does that mean? Closing it and doing what? Moving
people
from
all the other prisons
off the coast of Virginia?
That are just as bad. And a year? I mean, why not this afternoon?
It's as if this stuff isn't already illegal. I mean, that's the thing that's so striking in the corporate media is they generate debate out of thin air to obfuscate when something is as cut and dry and clear as you can get. You know, the convention against torture is the law of this land because the Constitution claims strictly and clearly that any treaty to which the U.S. is signatory has the rule of law. And it's Article 6 of the Constitution. I mean, whether Obama says it's legal or not, or Bush had said it's legal or not, none of this matters. It's illegal. It's quite simple.
Oh, indeed.
It doesn't need to be debated or discussed. The fact that he came in and did use this kind of language is good, but it also, and again, you won't see much of this in liberal commentary, it also shows in Obama's embracing of the unitary executive theory, that the president somehow has the authority to declare these things, but many liberals who are seeing Obama as, quote-unquote, doing the right thing, they don't seem to mind those, you know, minor footnote constitutional problems. like, for example, now that Obama's in, it's okay that there's a unitary executive. And, I mean, again, this goes to the root of what was so drastically awry in the Bush years.
Oh, absolutely. The laws are very clear, Mickey, not just our Constitution, not just international law. We have our own laws. We have a War Crimes Act. I mean, these things, the things that we do around the world are absolutely illegal in our own law, let alone international law. On executive orders, I was amazed to find out, way back when I first started writing anything about it, I've never written that much about it, but a little bit, that they go back to George Washington, but, you know, he might have issued a couple, and I don't know on what. They weren't really used all that much until more recent times, and then George Bush became the king of executive orders. Now, for Obama, on his first day or two or three in office, to issue a blizzard of executive orders, it's like saying, as you're pointing out, I mean, we've got the bloody law. Let's just enforce the damn thing. And what do we need executive orders for?
Yeah, I mean, you know, in Project Censored story number 8 this last year, executive orders can be changed secretly. I mean, Obama is going to use all of the unitary executive measures to his political advantage. Which means, again, the rule of law suffers. We either live in a transparent society where we have, where we are under the rule of law, or we're not. And again, you know, I mean, granted, you know, again, like you, credit where credit is due. The fact that Obama has come in and really tackled a few of these major concerns should be, you know, I mean, we shouldn't break our arms patting ourselves on the back, you know, for saying we're not going to torture. But that's, of course, such a marked shift from the people who were saying, you know, the great dissemblers of the Bush administration. Well, what do you mean by torture? You know, and the rabid jingoist Christopher Hitchens actually underwent waterboarding himself so he could write his own vain Vanity Fair article about how, well, yeah, gee, this is torture. You know, so even Hitchens has come out and said, look, this is just ridiculous. All about this phony debate, corporate media phony debate that was an echo chamber for the right wing in the Bush administration. And, again, it's a colossal failure of media. And you know it. I know it. I'm sure many of your listeners are aware. But you're going to see more of this in the Obama years, I'm afraid. You're going to see more of this, more of this kind of heaped praise upon the quote-unquote changes of Obama, but yet so little is changing in terms of the unitary executive. And that's really, again,
there's nothing in the Constitution that allows this. The Constitution
right.
does not allow executive orders. I mean, there's no authority. This is the president taking it upon himself to do what he pleases.
It's order by decree.
By decree, exactly.
It's allegedly what the founders of the country were fighting against, in 1776. And the people, of course, that were marshaling that whole effort at war for quote-unquote independence, I mean, they turned right around, and the Federalists started to impose their will on the farmers, the yeoman farmers, the peasants, the poor in our society, as if they hadn't broken from England and as if they hadn't, had all this lofty rhetoric about classical liberalism, about independence and about liberty and equality and so on. I mean, again, these are propagandistic ruses that are used to basically control and pacify the public, because as soon as you try to exert your rights or mention the obvious, something quite simple like you just did about Obama and executive orders and torture, again, people look at you sideways and they say, well, what are you talking about? I mean, we've gone so far afield from having an open system of information and having fact-based information be reported, again, even though we live in this great sea of information, there is a paucity of understanding. And I do hope that people will check out the Project Censored website and the Media Freedom Foundation page to check out the independent news sources and news analysis, because this is a place where you're actually getting, the information about what's really going on around the world. And, I really think that the more this kind of thing is supported and the more independent research is supported, the more and more we make corporate media completely irrelevant.
And the way to beat them, Mickey, is to ignore them. There's no comeback from that. Oh, my goodness, this hour is flown, but we have one short section left. Let's take a break. We'll come back and finish up the program, Mickey.
Thanks, Stephen.
ProjectCensored.org. Welcome back. I'm on with Mickey Huff. Mickey, just a word or two, and we'll spend, I got a whole program on it tomorrow, the economy, but this is something that touches everybody's lives, and on my homepage, AP headlines pop up, my favorite place to go for the news. But it's pretty dramatic, some of the headlines they have, and one that just popped up was, tens of thousands more layoffs are announced, and they're talking about today.
Oh, yeah.
And the companies announcing them say they expect to cut many thousands more in the months ahead. I mean, this is serious business. People are scared that they'll walk into work on Monday morning and they'll be told to clear off their desk by the end of the day.
It's pretty amazing. I mean, I just remember over the weekend, catching a couple of things on television. Circuit City, major electronics consumer places, they're closing all their stores, and the way that you see it on, in the corporate media is it's an advertisement for some alleged great sale, and hey, you can go and take advantage of this kind of a thing. I mean, there's no mention of like what that means, not just for the economy, but for all the people that work there. I mean, again, it's another example of corporate media bias fueling the addiction of consumerism. There's no question, again, back to the humanitarian issues.
Secret of the Obama stimulus plan, which is still, it's coming out in bits and pieces, and we'll see the whole thing before too long. But the dirty secret is it's primarily to funnel many, many billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars, to business interests, to the banks, to the real estate industry, to the construction industry. And a very small piece of this will go to beleaguered households, including people losing their homes.
Yeah, I mean, this is, again, pretty much the plan. I mean, we've spent trillions of dollars on these so-called bailouts. The whole bailout is a Ponzi scheme. I mean, it's not just Bernie Madoff.
He's pocket change.
Yeah, the whole system is criminal in this regard, and you can't expect the corporate interests that own the media to transparently or honestly report any of these kind of things because of such a significant conflict of interest. Just yet again, another reason that people need to seek out their own independent sources of information And again, if you don't like some of the sources of information that we have up at Project Censored on the Media Freedom Foundation page, seek them out on your own. That's all, we're really trying to get people to do is to realize that, look, it's obvious. Not only is it obvious that people are being lied to, they're being ritually misinformed and propagandized. And until we wake up to this problem of media control and information control, most of the people in our society are going to be pretty helpless. They're not going to be armed with accurate information to fight off the tough things that are going on and the rough days ahead.
The biggest job we've got to do, Mickey, I think people who listen to this program are well piped in, and my urging to them is spread the word. Let the people who haven't figured out how to get real information tell them where they can get it. Tell them what to stay away from. We've got to get more people, millions more people informed, because we keep sinking deeper into the abyss. And if we don't find a way to pull ourselves out of this, then the USA, as we think it is, will be revealed for what in fact it is. But it'll be much worse at a future time. Oh,
right.
We're out of time. You hear that background music, Mickey?
I do.
It means they're going to break away to the next program. So I've only got time to thank you again for coming on. You will come back, right?
Absolutely. Thanks so much for having me, and thanks for everything you're doing, Steve.
Oh,
it's
thank
always
you,
a pleasure.
I end by saying, to be continued.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Mickey. We'll talk again soon.
Thanks, Stephen.
And come on back tomorrow, and we'll be on the economy tomorrow. We'll talk about the terrible affliction affecting everybody. Tune in tomorrow.